Welcome to another episode of How Did So-Called Progressive Politics Become So Regressive? The podcast that says it's okay to believe in free speech and democracy, and it's also okay to disagree with leftist populist ideologies. Let's be honest with ourselves. The political direction we are going in is not working. Everyone is more angry and divided than ever. Despite BLM, Me Too, woke ideology, what we have in the world is more racial division, a gender civil war, and cancellation of happiness. What we also have is far greater intolerance of diversity of opinion. So what's going wrong and how do we fix this? How do we create a society that is truly united and tolerant? And why are we trying to tear down the very system that has given us the greatest freedom and equality? So what's the answer? That's actually quite simple. We need to restore faith in democracy. It is within the construct of democratic principles that we find the greatest promotion of tolerance and protection against abuse of power. I'll be explaining how this works in upcoming lectures, and I'll be promoting the obvious idea that society works better when we bring people together rather than promoting divisiveness and intolerance of diversity of opinion. Tolerance requires learning to live with each other and accepting that people have different beliefs and ideologies to ours. It does not work when we try and force others to live by our subjective beliefs. The current idea that we can create a utopian society by enforcing beliefs on others has already been attempted by various imperialist cultures over the years, always with disastrous persecution and suffering. So it's ironic that the same political philosophies that decry the evils of colonialism are actually following an identical path, albeit that it's philosophical rather than territorial. You will believe what we believe. If you argue, you'll be cancelled and persecuted. There is only one true belief. It's interesting that the secular woke movement is actually far more fundamentalist in nature, whereas religion in the West is becoming increasingly flexible and tolerant. The problem with enforced belief is it just doesn't work. It creates resentment. And the only way that you can make it work is by using ever-increasing force to keep people in place, because people want autonomy. They become resentful and angry. With the totalitarian construct, people will defend persecution based on an agenda of the greater good. Persecuting people to enforce beliefs is the path to the dark side of the force. The solution is democracy, which promotes the tolerance of coexistence of different opposing ideologies: Christians, Jews, Muslims, gay people, straight people, black people, white people, LGBTQIA+, everyone living together with their own belief systems and tolerating each other. And herein lies our greatest mistake, because we can't bring a society together by promoting totalitarianism. People can believe in binary, biological, or non-binary gender and still get along. Dare I say it, even Democrats and Republicans must coexist peacefully for there to be tolerance. And they used to 5-10 years ago. Discrimination happens if we don't allow people to believe in their ideologies without interference. So we need to move away from this autocratic idea that there is only one approach to creating tolerance. Firstly, because it actually disproves itself. Because tolerance is about tolerating other beliefs by definition. And as soon as you say there's only one way to be tolerant, you're already being intolerant because others may have a different approach. If you look around you, you will see that this approach is simply not working. It's creating hatred and division, the likes of which I certainly haven't witnessed in my lifetime. And what we really are fighting against now is another McCarthyist era. It's another Spanish Inquisition. History will look back unkindly and future generations will ask us, how could we allow this to happen again? But that will not compensate those who get cancelled and persecuted. It won't help those who have severe damage to their reputation and lose their jobs. If we don't try to stop this, how many will suffer and how much ground will we lose in our path to racial and gender tolerance and harmony? Democracy is worth defending. It's the best, most evidence-based political system we have. Democracy holds authority to account by allowing people free speech to argue and challenge. They must be allowed to challenge the system and disagree about ideology. So when people talk tolerance but promote censorship and call other viewpoints discrimination, then be aware that this is not about tolerance at all. It's about control. The most powerful defense against intolerance and the abuse of power is the maintenance of a robust democracy. Woke ideology discriminates and persecutes people based on their beliefs, but sells this as tolerance. A battle for belief cannot be won through enforced agreement. And these kinds of conflicts are usually bloody and prolonged. So I hope that we can start talking about these kinds of issues before it's too late. Even just, let's start talking again. So we need to stop the return of ideological persecution. It's something that the West has worked so hard to move away from. One of the most powerful statements I can make today is that defending basic, obvious democratic principles in a Western democracy is now considered controversial. And quite honestly, it's become a little frightening to do. How could being pro-democracy become a risky stance to take in a democratic country? In this series, I will be challenging the undemocratic position that promotes the idea that disagreeing with populist ideologies like Black Lives Matter, Me Too, and the trans movement defines you as a racist, sexist, transphobe. On the contrary, it's possible to be democratic, pro-human rights, and supportive of minorities, yet still disagree with certain populist ideologies. And here is the crux. We may all want a tolerant, compassionate, and fair society, but we are allowed to have different ideas about how to get there. I'll also go on to explain in future lectures why populist ideologies are creating more problems than solutions, and why many of their philosophies actually challenge democracy. Now, most of all, I should be allowed to challenge ideologies that promote resentment and anger. And at the moment, we have the rebirth of xenophobia. It's just taken a new form. Now it's largely against white people and against men. And I'm opposed to discrimination of any kind. If you want to be non-sexist, it means that you have to be non-sexist against any kind of discrimination, including against men. So let me make one point very, very clearly. I'm extremely pro-tolerance and anti-discrimination. So when I talk about issues that I have with the philosophies of Black Lives Matter, Me Too, and the trans movement, I'm not targeting men, women, or gender diverse people. I'm criticizing ideologies that have become popular within these movements that I feel are bad for society and bringing out a great deal of anger and resentment. They're counterproductive to what we want, which is tolerance and fairness. So I repeat my most important and central emphasis that democratic principles are the safeguard against intolerance and abuse of power. If we create special allowances that compromise these principles, it doesn't matter whether it's for a minority group, we endanger society by removing its democratic protection. So whatever the agenda, be it racial or gender equality, the promotion of totalitarianism promotes tyranny, not tolerance. And this is historically proven. Everyone, no matter how much they've suffered, how marginalized they feel, must subject their views to the democratic process. Nobody gets the right to claim a monopoly on the truth. So what we've lost as a society is the ability to have reasonable, democratic discussions about complex political issues. And all human politics involving race and gender are incredibly fraught and complex, and they're full of emotion. So people are going to disagree, and they're going to offend each other, but we can't come together unless we start talking again. I'm also very concerned that so-called progressive political movements have started to play fast and loose with basic democratic ideals, and I'll talk a great deal about that as the lecture series progresses. Western democracy has evolved based on certain principles, and these principles have also evolved Western democracy to the point that we've achieved a society that has extraordinary freedom, equality, and fairness. Democracy and freedom of speech are what hold the system to account. So when we compromise these basic principles, even for ostensibly justifiable causes, we remove our protection against abuse of power. How could progressive politics promote a return to censorship, to centralized control and suppression of scientific advancement? That is the very definition of regression. We're living through times that promote censorship and persecution as morality and tolerance. Why would the self-claimed defenders of liberty be working against the very system that has delivered the greatest freedom and human rights in history, the greatest equality society has ever seen? Most importantly, I want to ask, what has happened to our democratic dream? Just 10 years ago, in most Western countries, you could practice your religion, express your views, criticize popular ideologies without fear of persecution. Everyone I speak to nowadays is afraid of the consequences of just stating the most obvious truths. Governments and medical associations have started banning inconvenient facts and even canceling biology. We used to have a word for recognition of reality. It wasn't discrimination, it wasn't intolerance. It was actually called sanity. How can sanity be cast as hate speech and intolerance? We see the rebirth in society of autocracy and totalitarianism, and we see this returning not with tears, but with cheers. We see the rebirth of the promotion of state control of ideology, exactly what we fought against for the last few decades. This is what we grew up fighting against, the cruelty and persecution of communist regimes. We've moved back to the Stalinist approach of schools being encouraged to brainwash children with political ideologies against the will of their parents. But most of all, and this is the most important point, this approach has not delivered a happy, united society. If that was the aim, then the current approach to progressive politics has failed because everyone is more divided and angrier than ever. In the US, Democrats and Republicans can no longer sit together for a meal at the same dinner table. And any political disagreement now provokes anger and usually personal accusations. This is sad because democracy is all about promoting tolerance of disagreement. That's the whole point of the system. By means of introduction, I grew up in apartheid South Africa, and apartheid in Afrikaans actually means apartness. People were persecuted based on their race and not allowed equality, but the winds of change were blowing in the world. We all knew where we wanted to go. The world was headed in a better direction. We wanted to unite and create a fair and equal society that was colorblind. Now, instead of unity of purpose, we promote a system that actually divides people again, identity politics. So you're white, you're black, you're gay, you're straight, and now we are judging people again based on their race and gender identity. This is the opposite of what we were moving towards, and it's a very negative direction. Most significantly, Western democracy has delivered the greatest society of all time. In common with most other cultures and societies, we all come from a primitive colonialist past. Humans are imperialist and prone to abusing power. This is universal and has nothing to do with being white or European. You need look no further than the conflict between the Chinese and Japanese, which has been going on for eons and has cost millions of lives. You could look at the Middle East, where there are terrible internecine conflicts. You can look at the history of Africa, and I came from Africa, with terrible, brutal black-on-black violence. So this is not a white issue. It is a human problem. The difference is that Western democracy has repented and moved towards actually fixing these problems. It's delivered the greatest advances in equal rights for people of all races and genders, where people can practice different religions, there's freedom of the press, a fair justice system, freedom of speech, and tremendous quality of life. So when people say that the system is flawed, yes, there's always room for improvement. We live in an imperfect human world, but we can always hope and aspire for justice and truth, even in an imperfect society. We don't need to tear it down. So why would left-wing organizations so committed to freedom and equality be destroying the very system that has delivered what they want? What will they replace it with? Burning down the house we all live in will not make it more habitable. We have witnessed the consequences of fascism, the Nazi murder of 6 million Jews. We've experienced the disaster of communism, equal misery for all. Once you centralize power and control, you remove individual freedom. Then when people speak out against centralized control and try to take back self-determination, the system must oppress them and suppress freedom of speech, or they will risk democratic overthrow. We saw the culmination of this with Stalin's murder of 20 to 30 million of his own people. Many of us thought we had moved past this failed model of fascism and Marxism. But here we are embracing totalitarianism again, definitely not a progressive approach. So how can people who claim to want freedom and equality fight to bring back systems that take away power from the people? You can't have central control and individual autonomy in the same system. They're mutually exclusive by definition. This is obvious and historically proven. If you give too much power without accountability, persecution and suppression of freedom of speech will inevitably ensue. Those who do not learn from history are doomed to repeat it. Find me a Marxist country that has produced the same freedom and quality of life as modern Western democracies. Put it this way, the communist guards on the East Berlin side of the Berlin Wall were not there to shoot West Germans trying to get over to the communist side. They were there to shoot East Germans who were desperate to escape communist life and trying to get over to the much higher quality life on the Western side of the wall. In fact, I doubt you will find any of the libertarians who are so keen to criticize Western democracies looking to return to the third world countries of their origin, because they know, as we do, that Western democracies offer unprecedented quality of life, safety, and freedom. The antidote to persecution is democracy, because people can hold a government to account by voting them out of power. So accountability is a major democratic principle. This necessitates the right to publicly oppose state-sponsored views, and that must allow people to oppose populist ideologies without fear of persecution, in other words, true freedom of speech. So it's ironic that libertarians are fighting against the very system that represents ideals like freedom of speech and the equality that they purport to represent. And they are using the advantage of Western democracy, their right of freedom of speech, to try to suppress the rights of others to freedom of speech. They haven't noticed that the only reason they can publicly hate their governments and speak out publicly is because Western democracy allows them to do this. In other systems, they'd risk being arrested or worse. This doesn't interest them as much as exercising their Western democratic freedom of speech to protest, not against countries that deny their citizens basic human rights, that lack a free press, that run kangaroo courts, persecute gays and women, but rather to attack the one system that offers the fairest and most equal society of all, Western democracy. So you have to ask what the true agenda is of the radical left, because they seem most interested in destroying the only system that supports freedom and justice for all. Now, Western progress has been built on technology, thrived in an environment of intellectual enlightenment. Enlightenment depends on knowledge and innovation. Knowledge cannot be overcome by subjective ideologies, as this defeats progress and enlightenment. Innovation requires a free-thinking society that promotes the rights of the individual to think differently to other people. Otherwise, there can be no disruptive thinking and progress. Humanity stagnates if nobody can challenge the system, and you can't innovate with herd thinking. Thus, when I tell you that progressive politics have become regressive, understand that this is literally true, because scientific and technological advance cannot happen in a system that restricts free thinking and forces everyone to think the same way. The current idea of promoting banning inconvenient facts and censoring truth is an antidote to human progress. It is regressive. Now, successful systems depend on meritocracy, because you can't promote free thinking, innovation, and productivity unless you allow fair competition, which focuses on equality of opportunity, not equality of outcome. People lose motivation if they're not allowed to compete, express their talents, and be rewarded for their efforts. So the system must remain fair to all races and genders to drive competition and productivity. No society can flourish without productivity. So in very brief summary, you can't create peace and unity by dividing people and promoting resentment. You can't create tolerance by enforcing belief. You won't create a better society by compromising democratic principles. So join me for my series, How Did Progressive Politics Become So Regressive? If you enjoyed this podcast, please feel free to follow me and share it with your friends. And join me for the next episode of How Did So-Called Progressive Politics Become So Regressive? Please note that the views and opinions on this show are my own and do not reflect those of my colleagues or employers.